Dave Hill here, and this week on The Novelizers, from the FXX TV series Dave, Gata, from Russian Doll, Yoni Latan, plus writer Matt Toby. This is your time to shine. Welcome to the Novelizers Podcast. Today's show, I'm not going to lie, it's effing fantastic.
Can we say that on Cincinnati Public Radio, which is our distributor?
I don't know.
We did.
I don't want to get a repeat of what happened last time. That's all I'll say.
That's true.
Let me tell you what happened. No, never mind.
Welcome to the Novelizers. What a fantastic show. As usual, the Novelizers is a show where we have award-winning comedy writers retelling classic films, but with jokes, and then your favorite comedians narrate. And this season, what movie, Dave?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Stephen Levinson. The Dark Knight. That's one of the Batman movies out there today.
It's one of the 12 Batman reboots.
One of the 47 Batman movies.
Do you think, are there more Batman movies or Spider-Man movies?
I'm not a doctor, but I would say Batman. But I, at the same time, I don't know. Or care to check?
We don't know. But if you're a superhero fan and you know what you go on to patreon.com, look up the Novelizers and donate $5, $10, even $15 a month.
And $7 million.
$7 million. And then I guess you can also tell us the right answer or not.
Yeah, that would be grateful. Grateful for that.
And I'm grateful for the amazing talent joining us on today's episode. Dave, could you tell us who they are?
Oh, yeah. Try and stop me. Gata is Daviante Ganter, an American rapper and actor known for his work in the FX series Dave, as well as being the hype man for rapper Lil Dicky, a job that I was hoping would be mine, but didn't work out. Yoni Latan is an actor and writer known for his work in Russian Doll, High Maintenance, and The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. Matt Toby is a writer whose work has appeared on Comedy Central and The Onion.
Amazing. And they're all here today to tell us about The Dark Knight. And where are we in the story? What's going on this week?
Oh, man. Lau, Maroni, and other mobsters gather to discuss their money being stolen and tracked. Lau is managing their money now, which is nuts. The Joker interrupts the meeting and proposes to kill Batman, much to the mobsters' outrage, even though mobsters tend to be into that sort of thing.
It's weird. We're already like six chapters into this movie. And only now does the Joker decide to kill Batman?
I know. It's like, yeah. Come on. Maybe he could have done it sooner and then we could have had other movies. But whatever. What do I know about show business?
I don't know. I mean, everything. Anyway, I can't wait any longer. Gata.
Novelize us. The Dark Knight, Chapter 5. If you can't stand the Joker, get out the kitchen. Novelized by Matt Toby, narrated by me, Gata. Deep in the bowels of Gotham Grand Hotel, the kitchen would have normally been bubbling like a hot pot of soup, but the stoves were cold. In the floors above, dozens of guests were experiencing their own villain origin stories, waiting for BLTs, salmon fillets, and creme brulees that would never arrive from room service. The ovens were off, and the chefs had been sent home, because the kitchen was currently occupied by a private event exclusively for Gotham's biggest remaining crime bosses, and their surliest henchmen. The Maronis, the Gambos, and the Russians were all present. The LaPointe crew was notably absent. The other three families would each pretend they thought one of the others was supposed to have invited the LaPointes. But the truth was, they all thought the LaPointes were small-timers, and they simply didn't respect Mappe, which is what Gotham's criminal underworld called black market maple syrup. The Chechen, the head of the Russian syndicate, was last to arrive. He would have been there sooner, but the Chechen was a hypocrite. He was buying a crate of Mappe from the LaPointes. As the Chechen entered the kitchen, a metal detector beeped. Beep, beep, beep. He opened his coat and Harvey Dent patted him down. Harvey located the Chechen's 9mm, pulled the pistol out of his coat pocket, and tossed it into the gun basin with all the other guns. A few guys were smart enough to bring wooden guns, and they got in, no problem. The Chechen meant to pack his wooden gun, but he was too distracted thinking about getting his sticky fingers on the sweet, sweet syrup. Not the district attorney Harvey Dent, by the way. This is a totally different guy named Harvey Dent who works for Dent Metal Detectors. There are actually four guys named Harvey Dent in Gotham City. The metal detector one, the DA one, Mr. Freeze's henchman, and a baby who didn't have a job yet. You might think this would get confusing, but it's a big city with millions of people, so it wasn't weird or confusing at all. You also might think that it's hard to find a trustworthy third party to hold on to all the metal guns for the three crime families who didn't have a lot of trust between them. And on that, you would be right. That's why trust is one of the key company values at Dent Metal Detectors for over 30 years. Harvey's father, Bucky, built his company on a few simple old-fashioned principles. Reliable metal detectors, fair prices, and mob neutrality. Not the Bucky Dent who used to play for the Yankees, by the way. There's no New York City in this universe, so no one in Gotham City has ever heard of the Yankees. Also, there are 487 men named Bucky Dent in Gotham City, and 92 women, and most of them own metal detector companies. So this actually does get pretty confusing at times. But this, Bucky Dent's metal detector company, was the most trustworthy. And no one knew that more than Gotham's organized crime outfits. What Bucky and the crime bosses didn't know was that Harvey was in love with Gord LaPointe, Guy's son, and was conspiring to help Gord stage a mob coup. But not tonight. As the Chechen joined the other families around the arrangement of tables in a U-shape, Gerald from the Maroney family and Bucky from the Russians carried in a large tube TV. Gerald and Bucky were from rival families, but in that moment, they were loyal members of the fuck whoever wouldn't spring for a flat screen game. They shared a look with each other that said, "We are brothers, bonded for life." Suddenly, the TV flashed on, and Lowe appeared on the screen. "The Joker has stolen $68 million from you," Lowe announced. All the crime guys got weird looks on their faces because they were pretty mad about the Joker stealing the money. But they also wanted to look like big shots who think $68 million is chump change. "That's fine," said Maroney. "I wipe my beautiful Italian ass with $68 million every morning." "Yeah, I actually think this is funny," insisted Gambo. "But the Joker does suck." "I fucking hate that guy," added the Chechen. "But not because I care about money," Maroney finished his sentence. "Right," agreed Gambo. "I've taken the rest of your money," Lowe revealed. "Okay, I think we can all agree that all of our money is a lot of money because we're rich big shots," Gambo said. "So this does piss me off." "Relax," said Lowe. "I took your money out of the bank and moved it into a place where the Gotham City police have no jurisdiction." "Ah, Hong Kong. Very smart," Maroney said. "No," Lowe said. "Even better than Hong Kong. The blockchain." "What the hell's a blockchain?" the Chechen asked. "Gentlemen, your money cannot be more safe," Lowe insisted. "I have taken the liberty of securing it on a digital blockchain in the form of non-fungible tokens. All remaining, $471 million, has been converted to Gator Gals." "I'm going to wrap a blockchain around your neck if you don't start making sense," barked an increasingly incensed Gambo. "Please, Mr. Gambo, if you will allow me to finish, Gator Gals are animated digital illustrations of bosom alligator ladies. Each one is completely unique and very sexy." Lowe held his phone up to the camera and showed off a Gator Gal. The Gator Gal wore a bikini with a stethoscope around her neck and carried a box of light bulbs. "Why is she carrying light bulbs?" asked the Chechen. "It's because it's unique. They're all unique. This is Lean Gator. I paid $175 million for her. She's very rare," Lowe said. He was yelling because he got excited when he talked about Gator Gals. Gambo was still mad, but he was pretty horny now, too. Everyone was. Lean Gator was really hot. "Okay, bye," Lowe said, and then the TV flipped to a rerun of Friends. Suddenly, a maniacal laugh began to echo through the kitchen, but the laughter wasn't laughing at Joey or Phoebe or Chandler or Monica or Devin or Herschel or Oprah or Bucky or Rachel. Friends is a much different show in Gotham City. The laugh was vivacious from the mouth of none other than the clown prince of crime, the bozo of bedlam, the merrymaker of malfeasance. It was the goddamn Joker. and he had just walked right in here through a second door to the kitchen that had been completely neglected by dent metal detectors. They can kiss their 5-star Yelp average goodbye. How about a magic trick? The humorous of Harm asked the table of mobsters. Okay, said the Chechen, thinking to himself that maybe if the Joker was good enough at a magic trick, that he could work off some of the 68 million. Gamboa wasn't in the mood at all for a magic trick, because he was already so mad, and because he didn't like the feeling of being tricked. Anytime someone showed him a magic trick, he'd just get pissed off and look up the secret on YouTube. Gamboa nodded to Craig, one of his more expendable henchmen, who approached the wisecracker of wickedness with maximum gumption. This is my moment, thought Craig. This is when I go from being an expendable henchman to an indispensable henchman. I've been putting in time, taking shit, always first in line to come at Batman and get my lights knocked out. Probably got a traumatic brain injury by now. But it's all worth it, because I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to impress Gamboa so much with my courage and assertiveness, he's going to give me a raise and better jobs. I won't have to go pick up the carry out and clean Gamboa's ferret cages anymore. I'll get to do the real big shot stuff, like run away from Batman while other henchmen get their lights knocked out. And then I'll save up enough money to show Henrietta that I can provide a good life for her. A life worthy of Gotham's second biggest suit factory. The Joker produced a sharpened pencil and jammed the point tip into the table. There goes our deposit with Penguin Table Rentals, thought Maroney. Henrietta and I will elope, Craig continued thinking as he continued approaching the Joker. And leave my life of inquity with my hard-earned riches, escaping to a place in the country where we will raise a beautiful family of 7 children. Brevran, Lysandria, Quaid, Isolade, Vesperia, Fenris and Doug. Henrietta and I will fill our humble home with love and fill our darling children with wisdom, kindness, and an ironclad knowledge of the difference between right and wrong. I will also invent a Roomba for teeth, so my precious family never worry about money running out, and I will never have to overcome my fear of dental floss. Finally, Craig finished traversing the 7 feet of distance between him and the prankster of Pandemonium. But he spent the entire trek thinking about his future with Henrietta and their children, and hadn't come up with any plan for how he would actually deal with the Joker. The jester of jerkiness grabbed Craig's head and swiftly brought it down to the table. Craig's body crumpled lifelessly to the kitchen floor as the rest of the room looked on in shock. The pencil had disappeared. Not bad, the Chechen admitted. Thank you, Mr. Chechen, said the Joker. Say, what's that in your wedding cake? The Chechen had a wedding cake with him this whole time. I didn't mention it because it wasn't relevant to the story. And it wasn't made of metal, so it didn't set the metal detector off when it came in. But he usually had a wedding cake with him. He just really liked the taste of wedding cake. And when you're rich, you can buy a whole wedding cake, whatever you want, even if no one is getting married. The Chechen looked more closely at his wedding cake and noticed a small protrusion in the frosting. He fingered the protrusion. His eyes grew wide as he pulled out the exact pencil that had just disappeared. The Chechen clapped. Okay, now that is actually pretty good. But then what happened to Craig, asked Gamboa. What's going on with your orange fanny pack, Gamboa? Gamboa was wearing 9 fanny packs, and the orange one seemed to be moving. He zipped it open and was stunned to pull out Craig, completely unharmed. The entire room erupted in applause. Later, Craig would be so excited to tell Henrietta about his participation in the magic show that he would accidentally step into an open elevator shaft. Luckily, it would be on the first floor, and he would be fine, but he would also find a bucket of poison spaghetti at the bottom of the elevator shaft. And one of the longer noodles would get caught around his neck and strangle him to death. Can you do the David Blaine levitation trick? Asked the Chechen excitedly. Sure, but it'll cost you another 68 million. The Joker joked. The gangsters all laughed, but you could tell they were mad. Gamboa was the maddest of all. He was watching a YouTube video on his phone that explained the pencil trick and making a begrudging face. Like, oh, of course that's how. No, but seriously, the Joker said. All due respect to David Blaine, who is a wonderful entertainer and magician, also a dear friend, but he is not really representation of the magic community because he uses camera tricks, and he's cool. If you're not going to show us more tricks, what the hell do you want, sneered Maroney, who didn't care for the way the Joker insulted David Blaine. I want to kill the Batman. What's stopping you? That trick will cost you more than 68 million. How much do you want? I want half of your gator gals. The mobster guys all blew their tops at that. They wanted Batman dead for sure. but the thought of this sick freak getting his clowny paws on Lean Gator was a bridge too far. Get the hell out of here before I twist you up like a balloon animal, Gambo demanded. Yeah, agreed the Chechen. Do three or four more awesome tricks, and then get right the hell out of here. Call me when you change your mind. You've got my card, the Joker said, tossing a Joker playing card at the Chechen. How am I supposed to call you? There's no number on here, the Chechen protested. Isn't there? The Joker said. The Chechen looked at the card again, and his jaw dropped, where the Joker illustration had been a moment ago. There was now a phone number on the card. The Chechen looked back up at the Joker in amazement, and the Joker gave him a wink. All of the crying guys rose to their feet and applauded, as the Joker gave a slight bow and exited the kitchen through a third door, which was also unmanned. The Chechen, Maroni, and Gambo all slightly agreed they would be seriously considering going elsewhere for their future metal detector needs.
Oh, man, that was good. So good.
That was so good.
So good. But we're not done.
Not even close.
Because every week on the show, we talk to someone who worked on the film The Dark Knight. Get some of that backstage gossip.
Yeah, yeah. We'll crazy stories from that set. Yeah.
Let's hear one of those.
All right, everybody. I am Kevin Carter. I'm here with Sir Arthur Reinhold, who was the henchman actor in the movie The Dark Knight. Arthur, how's it going today?
Oh, salutations, my good friend. Yes, hello. My name is Sir Arthur Reinhold. Mm-hmm. I've been acting for more than 40 years, and I found my niche in henchman acting. I forgot to mention the sir is nickname. I am not nice.
Okay, is this a nickname you gave yourself?
Yes,
or you gave it yourself.
Yes,
it's a self-made nickname.
Yes, I think you know acting. You can also act when you're not on camera. So if you were to tell people that you are a sir, people will treat you with respect.
Until you tell people you're not really knighted. You know, do you tell people you're not knight, or you just let them assume what they assume?
I just, you know, I let them do what they need to do. And if they ask, then I will tell them, you know, it's simple. It's a simple, simple nickname that has no nefarious purposes whatsoever.
For the people out there, can you tell them what a henchman actor really is?
Henchman is from the Latin word homos henchus, which translates into the bumbling man.
Okay.
The henchman is a kind of a clown. It's a man who's just down and out trying to make a living's wage, and all he could do is bumble around and drop a gun or slip on an oil spill when, you know, the hero is near. And
yeah,
they play such an essential role into the story because they fill in the gaps when Batman or Superman or Green Lantern or Spider-Man or...
I think we get it, though. I think we get it. You can stop battle. Yeah, we get it, though. Yeah, we get it. Mm-hmm.
Or Venom.
I mean, if you're still thinking of more, you know, it's okay. We can, you know, we get it.
You fill in the gap of the tension that they're bringing. Mm-hmm. For example, I remember I was doing some Marvel movie. It was Spider-Man. It was The Amazing Spider-Man, the one with the sweet face. What's his name? Garfield.
Garfield, okay, Garfield, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember there was tension in the scene between him and the lizard man. Mm-hmm. And I said, gee, boss, what do you want me to do? That kind of cuts the tension because it's just like, who is this buffoon trying to make a living's wage for a lizard man? You understand what I'm saying? If I may.
Okay.
So I was a young actor living in Paris, and I took a clown class at the Philippe Goliath. And by taking the class, I mean, I walked in and they said, are you enrolled? And I acted and I said, yes.
So you lied.
I was doing a character. I was saying, what if I said, yes, I am enrolled in this school. And they said, okay. And then I acted as if I went to the school for free. And
I just feel like I think you're masking just the idea of lying to get what you want, and you're claiming it as acting?
Exactly, mask work.
Okay.
But I just want to say, the working with Christopher Nolan was such a...
Yes.
And, you know, I learned so much in that class, you know, the one class that I took because they found out that I was... What was the word you said?
Lying.
Yes, and they kicked me out of that class. But in that class, I learned, you can be a simple fool and make money off it. And, I was a big comic book fan, and I saw that there were so many bumbling fools in those books. And I said, what if I became a professional henchman actor?
In the movie The Dark Knight, which henchman were you in that movie?
I am the henchman that goes, where'd you learn how to count?
Did the henchman in this movie, did you have a mask? Not a mask or like a ski mask on or something like that?
I had a mask. I had
like
a
clown. You didn't have no face. They didn't show your face or anything?
No. I had a clown's mask on my head.
Yes.
And it's the very pivotal scene that happens in the very first 5 minutes of the movie in which Heath Ledger, when he is the Joker, and he were hiding behind the banking count, and Friedkin, I believe his name is, William Friedkin, is shooting. He's shooting, and he shoots with a shotgun. And then Heath looks at me, the Joker looks at me, and he goes, and I say, is he all out? And the Joker, he nods his head. And I stand up and I get shot in the chest. And then Joker rises and shoots the Friedkin in. And then I pop up and I say, where'd you learn how to count?
Did you have that facial expression under the mask?
Yes. I was method the entire the entire time on set. You know, I was playing this role. I called him, I gave him a name. His name was Punch.
Oh, so he didn't have a name. You gave him a name. Okay.
No, I actually a funny story, actually. Christopher Nolan was in a meeting, and I remember I came to the meeting. I didn't come to the meeting. I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, Christopher, what if my character was name is Punch? And he said, do I know you? And I said, yes, I'm Arthur, the henchman. And he looked at me and he gave me such a beautiful look. It was a look that honestly felt like it was for hours. And then before he could say something, somebody with a headphones, I think it was the second AD, said, you can't be here. What are you doing here? And I told the AD, I was like, what if my name was Punch? And the AD said, very good, very good. Why don't we have this conversation away from this meeting? It was amazing. I remember being pulled away and I looked back and I saw Christopher Nolan look at me one more time. And he gave me kind of a wink, but it could have been a blink. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Did you only see half?
I only saw half of his face. I saw half of his face. And I saw the eye.
Yes.
I saw the eye close. So I was like, oh, it's a wink. But it very much could have been him blinking.
Yes. Makes perfect sense.
One can only hope.
A lot of the stories you've told today,
yes,
it just seems like you're a good, not, I don't want to say good, it just seems like you're a liar. Uh-huh. Like you just lie, right? And it seems like you put it under acting,
right?
Like you're always acting. So whenever like we talk about the clown school, we talk about, you know what I'm saying, coming up with the name, and it just like you lie. Is that a thing, or would you mask all that under acting?
Mask.
It's still the mask. Okay. That's we still
exactly,
mask. Okay.
Exactly, Kevin. No, I'm not a liar. I'm an actor. And I think acting is really important. And, you know, anybody could be anything as long as they tell themselves that they're acting.
Okay. All right.
So am I fabricating reality? No. I'm performing a play.
You're performing a play that only you're performing in?
I don't know who said this quote, but all the world's a stage and acting is it.
Okay.
You know, there's a code in the henchman world. We call it G-Boss. And G-Boss, what G-Boss represents is henchmen. You know, evil villains could have 10 to 15 henchmen.
Yeah.
In the end, you are your own henchman. The henchman. Is its own boss, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So when you're saying G-Boss, you're actually talking to yourself.
Okay.
You are the boss. So in a way, yes, I have acted in reality to get ahead in life. But that's only because I see myself as the henchman to my own boss.
I want to talk to this idea of method acting. Sometimes method acting can spill over into your personal life.
And that actually, yes, was a big reason why my wife Lefty? Yes.
All right. Okay.
Because I would be a henchman at home, and she'd be like, "Hey, when are you going to clean up the backyard?" The backyard was atrocious. The dog kept shitting all over the place, and I would say, "Gee, boss, I didn't know that the backyard needed a clean." And she'd be like, "Stop with the voice. Just clean the dog shit." And I'd be like, "I don't know, boss. What if Bats comes here?" And she'd be like, "I don't know who Bats is. Not to kiss and tell, but during our coitus in bed, I would stay in character." And she didn't like that.
Just for the audience. Could you let us know what's going on?
We were touching each other's bodies, and I'd be like, "Gee, boss, my wiener's really rocked hard." She'd be like, "I don't want to do this." And I would say, "Are you sure we have time for this? What if Bats gets here?" And again, she would be like, "Who's Bats?" And she's like, "Are you still talking about Batman?" And then she would say something along the terms of, like, "It's really hard to kiss you when you wear that thing."
So
So
you were wearing a mask as well through all this. Okay.
Oh, yes.
I did not realize through all this you were still wearing the mask.
You never know.
Yeah.
You get the phone call from Nolan. Yeah. And he's like, I need you, henchman, ASAP.
Yes. I have been Kevin Carter here with Sir Arthur. Thank you for joining us today. And you guys enjoy the rest of the show.
Oh, man. They didn't hold back, did they?
Not at all. That's our show for today.
What a show.
And we'll be back next week with even more show.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait. But in the meantime, thanks for listening to this one. And thanks again to our guests, Gaeta, Yoni Litton, and Matt Toby. I'm actually realizing, I don't know if we thanked them a first time, so I don't know why I said thanks again, but like we had already done it. I don't think we had, actually.
Well, let's just, we'll play this twice, and then the magic of editing, and then it'll make sense.
I'm going to give myself a timeout. The Novelizers is hosted by me, Dave Hill, with Stephen Levinson, and produced by Stephen, Dennis DiClaudio, Cole Emhoff, Graham Douglas, Kevin Carter, Christine Bullen, Rob Kuttner, and Marla Ratner. And distributed by Cincinnati Public Radio. Editing and mixing by Graham Douglas. Music by Cole Emhoff. Theme song by Andrew Lynn, recorded by Knotts. Additional editing by Andrew Lynn and Sunita Haberlein. Special thanks to Brad Combs and Parabolic Studio in Manhattan. Follow The Novelizers on Instagram and support us on Patreon. The Novelizers is written and recorded without the use of AI. The Novelizers is an unauthorized work of parody. Copyright 2025, Novelizers, LLC.